This sounds a little bit like last week's gospel in the sense of there's, well, I won't go into all the ways it's similar. I'm going to try to preach one homily today. We'll see what happens. I have two books up here, so that should terrify you. The parable of the marriage feast here in Matthew's gospel, right, is this king preparing for his son a wedding banquet. Right away, we should be thinking about God the Father preparing for Jesus the bridegroom a wedding banquet with his church, the bride. In other words, heaven. The banquet to which we are all invited. And what's interesting about the invitation is that there are two invitations. I'm reading from a book you should all have. I'm going to use my lapel mic. Well, and that is, if you want to be a scripture genius without even trying, the Gospel of Matthew, it's the Catholic commentary on sacred scripture. This one is Curtis Mitch and Ed Street. And it says, according to custom, invitations to a feast went out in two stages. Right, one to request the attendance of the guests in advance, and the other to gather them together when the festivities were about to begin. When they sent out the first one in this parable, there's all these people that say, oh yes, we'd love to come. Thank you very much. That'd be great. And then when they send out the second, they say, you know, actually, I'm kind of busy. Now think about what he's talking. Jesus is talking about heaven. He's talking about receiving eternal life and the marriage banquet of the Lamb in heaven. We heard about it in the first reading. There's no more death anymore. God's wiping away every tear from their faces, it says. Every regret is vaporized by joy. And every mistake is vaporized by joy and by redemption. And the good things that we did, well, I'll get to that in a minute, those aren't vaporized. They endure. Good things that by the grace of God, the Holy Ones managed to do, endure. And because as we know, love does not pass away. Love is eternally fruitful. And people are invited to this, and they are a little busy. What do they have to do? I mean, you might as well, it doesn't even matter what their excuses are, you might as well say, oh, I wanted to come to eternal life, but I had to walk my dog, you know, I had to clip my toenails today, I'm a little busy. They have their reasons. Business. And they have their own affairs. They're just kind of busy. The reality of what that means for us is that we, too, being invited, have said yes, at least initially. So what's the second invitation? You know, what's the difference? And what's this wedding garment all about? I guess, it's important we see that the person has a wedding garment on. And I think a lot of people think of baptism. The wedding garment is baptism. But actually what St. Jerome says is that the wedding garments are the Lord's commands and the works that are fulfilled from the law and the gospel. These become the clothing of the new man. Right? So, and if anyone with the name of Christian is therefore found at the time of judgment who does not have the wedding clothing, that is the garment of the heavenly man from above, but has a polluted garment, that is the hide of the old man, he is immediately, this is St. Jerome, reprimanded. And it is said to him, friend, how did you get in here? Well, St. Jerome says it's actually our good deeds that we do by God's grace through faith and through his fruitfulness in us, but it shows our actual response, the response of our hearts and the response of faith shows in what we do. And now, lest we think this is an over, I guess, Catholic way of looking at it, it's really, isn't this trying to earn your salvation? Not so. Revelation 19. Well, why does St. Jerome say that it's about good things that we do? Because this is Revelation chapter 19. Then I heard something like the sound of a great multitude, or the sound of rushing water, or mighty peals of thunder, as they said, "Hallelujah, the Lord has established his reign, our God the Almighty. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding day of the Lamb has come. His bride has made herself ready." Again, we heard about a wedding that the Father prepared for his Son. Jesus is the Son, he's the Lamb, and the bride is the church, that's you and me, that's us. So let us rejoice and be glad. The wedding day of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. We, the church, have made ourselves ready. Well, how did we do that? She was allowed to wear a bright, clean, linen garment. A wedding garment. Well, what's that? Next line. The linen represents the righteous deeds of the holy ones. So I'm not making this up, neither is St. Jerome. The righteous deeds of the saints. And I like how it's generalized here. Because it leads to this suggestion that I don't just have to be clothed in my own righteous deeds, but maybe like I could wear the righteous deeds of, I don't know, Tim Burke or Karen Burke or St. Paul. Or, and I mean, I have to have righteous deeds that I'm contributing to the whole thing too. I mean, I don't know. But like, you know how the Bible talks about when one part of the body of Christ suffers, all do. When one part is honored, all are honored. I think heaven, we can think of heaven as being a very comparative, a place all about comparisons. You know, I want to win medals and wear them around heaven, and that's just really not what it's going to be like. But the good things that I do will bless you, and the good things that you do will bless me. What's important, though, and what's necessary is actually these good things that we do, again, which come from our faith. They come from, he's the source of them. But we're not trying to conjure up our own goodness. And yet it really does come down, our response really does come down to that, to actions. And so, as disciples of Jesus who believe, we have to complete the thought, you know, complete the process, complete the reality of I gotta bear fruit worthy of repentance. Repentance meaning I live a totally new life. I've accepted this invitation to the wedding banquet, and I am going to prepare for that wedding banquet. I'm not too busy to prepare for that wedding banquet. And how am I going to be prepared? How am I going to have that linen? The righteous deeds of the saints. Righteous deeds. First thing I think of are always the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. You know, feeding the hungry and clothing the naked. And, you know, the spiritual works of mercy. Bearing wrongs patiently. Forgiving your brother from the heart. So many deeds. There's so many challenges that we have so many opportunities to be preparing for the wedding banquet. And I can be really impatient to go off and be pursuing my own affairs. What I want to do and how I want this day to go. Or I can be really pursuing the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. And thinking about, I really want to say yes to eternal life. When do you say yes to eternal life? Always now. Something that we've said yes to already, and you know, when you were baptized, some of you said yes then. Some of you, your parents said yes then. But no matter how many times we've said yes to this invitation, this parable makes it clear that there's the first invitation and then there's the second invitation. And a lot of people who accepted the first invitation said, "Yeah, I'm interested. I'd like to go to heaven," but they didn't prepare. They didn't prepare the wedding garment. And then live in such a way as, yeah, this is what I do in this life. I get ready for heaven, and I'm going to help as many people get ready for it as can. It's an interesting way of looking at this life, and it's an analogy, so it's going to fall short sometimes. But if you think about preparing for like a wedding banquet, or maybe like, it almost makes me think of like a formal dance. Actually, it reminds me of in college, but then we had a formal dance. I went to a small Catholic school, totally Catholic culture. Our formal dances were awesome. They were super fun. And it was a great thing. We would have one in the fall, one in the spring. And as you're getting ready for this, I think a lot of people here dance, they think of high school. I don't know what that's all about because I went to a small Christian school and we didn't do those. I think that comes along with a lot of pressure and fear and social anxiety and maybe some excitement too. But in a small Catholic college, you can take out most of the fear and anxiety and social pressure. And it's just like, this is going to be really fun. And people have a good time getting ready for it, going out to dinner beforehand, etc., etc. In one sense, in one way of, analogously reading this, that's what we're doing now in this life. Like, that's one analogy for this life. Yes, it's totally incomplete. Yes, I prefer all the ones about spiritual battle, but they're all valid, and this one is too. You got some people who are doing their hair, and I mean this analogously, okay? They're doing their hair, probably, yeah, some of the guys too. I mean, speaking of hair, I have less and less to say every year, but that's another homily. They're getting their suit like ready. They're pulling it out of the closet, finding out where it is. Some guys are pretty last minute, but they're making the reservations for the restaurant. Some guys are shaving for the first time in a little while. Thinking back to all my college roommates. And then there's some people who are not doing any of that. They're like, I don't know, they're going off and doing their own thing. And then at the last minute, they try to fly in and get ready, and it's just a hot mess. And I suppose in some way that's some of the fun of it, but analogously speaking, they're just doing everything else. Are you coming tonight? No, I'm working until 7. What? It happens once a year or twice a year. Yeah, but I get paid time and a half. Oh, they're missing out. There's some people that are getting ready for the party. And there's some people who are, you got their head in the books, they're in the library till 7. Some of them actually, this did happen, they were just studying in the library and they completely forgot. And they left their date, who is not happy about this, and just didn't show up. And so their date is thinking, oh no, he's breaking up with me, what's going on? This is not the way to do this. He just forgot. He got way into, worrying about the next day he had some test or something. And that the Lord wants us to be about getting ready for the banquet is, well, it's just so clear. Here's what he's presenting us with. And it's a lens through which to view our lives and say, am I doing that? Am I getting ready for the party? You don't get ready for heaven by doing your hair and your makeup and, get ready for heaven by buying a suit if you don't have one. But the analogy is pretty clear. I mean, you get ready for heaven by the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, by wasting time with Jesus, by all of the ways that we respond to the Lord and prepare for heaven. There's a lot of other pursuits that can come in and can take us away from that preparation. And the Lord just says, don't let them. Nothing is more important than this party. Some of that stuff is necessary, but it has its time and place, and so does this. Don't let those become your aim. Don't let those become your goal. I do not want you to miss this party. I do not want you to be unprepared for this party. And your friends you're not going to want to let them be unprepared for the party either. 1 year, a group of friends miss the party because they decided to go to a different party. They're like, oh, we'll be back in time. They were in like a different city. They weren't back in time. And there's a level of, just again, the analogy. I'll have time for that and for this. And the Lord wants to remind us, we don't have time for everything. So, he invites us to enter into that preparation with joy and with peace, to steadily and peacefully make our lives better.